From SBR News, this is Inland Journal. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today, a new face for the state legislative delegation that serves Spokane Valley and northeast Spokane County. Republican Suzanne Schmidt is giving up her seat in the state house to take a slot on the Spokane County Board of Commissioners. Who will replace her in Olympia? We know it will be a Republican. There are four of them in the race. We'll talk with three of them. Deborah Long is a former school board member in the Central Valley District. Hillary Pham is an aide to current 4th District State Representative Rob Chase. And Trent Meyer owns a hard cider manufacturing company in Liberty Lake. We'll talk about why they're running, about their leadership styles, and which issues are the most important to them. That's this week's Inland Journal from SBR News. We'll go in alphabetical order, which means we start with Deborah Long. Long served for 20 years on the Central Valley School Board, 2003 to 2023, and now she's focused on financial issues.
I'm running on the premise that I'm tired of the gas taxes. You know, I'm honest. I go to Idaho at the Mayor Mart right there, and I save a dollar a gallon. I'm not alone. East Valley went there during the whole month of May. And it was about a buck and a quarter, and they saved over $100,000. That, you know, we have to do what we can. I'm not making, you know, minimum wage, but I still care about the almighty dollar. And I've got kids that work for us at Rockwood, where I've been for 30 years. They're watching every penny. They're with me. They're going to cross the line to get the gas. As Senator Christian would say, they've lost like over $2 million in fuel taxes. They're way down, not what they thought. And I thought, wake up. Look at the revenue you are losing by all of us going across the line. So I'm running on the gas tax. I'm running on that wonderful income tax because when all the millionaires leave, where are they going to get the money? And it's going to come from you and I. There's no end cap of where they're going to go. So I'm okay if they want to put an income tax. Well, not really, but it's there. But put an end cap on it so it doesn't hurt each and every citizen in Washington State.
So are you worried that the as many have made the case, yes, it's a tax for millionaires now, but it's going to be a tax for everybody in the near future? You believe that?
I believe that wholeheartedly. When our governor says, when you elect me, there will be no new taxes, and this is the first one out of the boat, and you're thinking, what the heck? You promised no new taxes, and then we have more gas taxes, and it went up again. It was only a penny on July 1st, but still, if you're watching your pennies, every penny counts, and that's horrible. So, and I want accountability. I'm an accountant at Rockwood Retirement Community, and I'm fiscally responsible. I had to be fiscally responsible for our children when I was a school board director, and I'm fiscally responsible to my residents who live at Rockwood. So I'm an accountant. I'm a bean counter, and I watch every penny that we spend and make sure it does the right thing. When I was in school, is it for the kids? Is it going to enhance their lives? Is it going to make a difference? At Rockwood, is it going to help my residents? Because we're a nonprofit. We don't kick them out. They stay with me forever. So I'm like you. We fundraise every year for the Resident Assistance Fund so that I can take care of you when you run out of money.
So as a school board member, how did you view your district's relationship with the state? Did you feel like the state did a good job of making sure that districts like yours were well cared for, were well funded?
No, they didn't. I was also the Washington State president. I ran for that office and became the Washington State president. I served as legislator
of the school board association.
Of the school board, it's called WASDA. It is the paramount duty. It's in our Washington State, you know, constitution. It is a paramount duty to educate our children. If you don't want to educate and don't want to give me money, take that baby out. But it's there. So do the right thing. You know, I can remember when the lottery was passed, it's going to fund education. Where's that money go now? It goes to the general fund. It doesn't go to education. How about the marijuana? Yeah, it's supposed to rehab and help. It's still going to the general fund. So what are they going to do with the income tax? Is that going to the general fund or is that going to help you and I?
Do you feel like the state spends enough money on education is just not well spent? Or do you feel like the state needs to spend more money because there are more needs that need to be taken care of?
There are truly a lot more needs than anyone realizes. If you have a special education child, you're entitled to all the benefits. Physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy are very, very expensive. And that hurts the 85% that are what we consider the average student. And they say, I need to enhance those who are taking AP classes, the true brilliant children that they are, and then I need to take care of my special needs children. But that comes at a cost. So if our expenses are really, really high for a special needs child, we have to cut somewhere. So no, they don't fund it appropriately.
Do you believe, as a former school board member, that the level needed to pass a bond issue, which is now 60% in Washington, 66% in Idaho, is that too high or is that appropriate? How do you feel about that?
We put a bill in and advocated to get it to 50%. It's never passed. It's never passed the legislature. Is 50% probably right? No. I would settle for 55%.
Some have proposed 55%.
Yeah. That's been in recent years. I would say 55 is sufficient. 60 is sometimes a real struggle. If you pass at 60 and don't have enough votes, it doesn't count. So you really need not only the voters, but you also need that 60%. And so I think it's a struggle. Many schools, I know at one point we had 59.9. That's just so disheartening. It's like, oh, what do we do? And then, you know, the next time we went out, it was like 45. So we lost a lot of momentum. And it's tough to pass a bond. You've got school districts in the state of Washington that can't even pass that bond.
So if you go to Olympia, you're elected. What kind of influence do you want to have?
I'd like to have a release on some of the mandates. Let's work together. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or an independent. I believe that 80% of us agree on what should be a mandate and what should not. Government does best when they do least. And they should be there to govern us, but not mandate us. I'd like to wipe the slate clean with mandates and start over. How about Growth Management Act? We have sewers, we have water, and we need land. You can't build unless you're a part of the Growth Management Act. And that's hurting our people.
That would be a hard one to get rid of.
Yeah, it will. But, you know, what century are we in?
How would the experience you had as a school board member benefit you as a state legislator in terms of leadership skills, that sort of thing?
I think it makes a difference because I've been there and I've tried hard to make a difference with our kids. Funding has to be appropriate. Fine arts in any school district is woefully underfunded, and we need those kids. Spokane Valley Tech was the best thing we ever did because it gave our students opportunities. You're 18. You're still living at home. You don't have to pay rent. Let me try. I want to be a cosmetologist. I guess I don't really like that. I want to be a welder, and I get to work at American Alloy. I'm not sure I like that. I have the opportunity to try and find a vocation that I want. I don't know about you, but a plumber is over $100 an hour, and we need plumbers. We need builders. We need electricians, and we need people that enjoy what they're going to do because you're going to do it for the next 40 years. That's what's going to make a difference, and I think providing kids avenues is going to help. And I think that this millionaire tax where we don't lose all of our business is hurting us.
Deborah Long is one of four Republicans running for a state House seat in the 4th Legislative District to replace Suzanne Schmidt. Now we turn to Trent Meyer. He's an engineer by training. He worked at Schweitzer Engineering in Pullman, made a career change, and went to culinary school in Seattle. Eventually, he came back to Pullman to open a cider company with a friend. They moved that company to Liberty Lake, which is where he lives now. He's gotten involved in the Valley Chamber of Commerce.
I've gotten used to having really big conversations about our community, and I think I've learned that that's where a passion of mine is. And similar to having a desire not just to earn a living that I can kind of predict as an engineer and see very clearly what that would look like, shifting gears to try something different, create new opportunities. This transition for me into, I guess, politics, although I don't really consider myself a lifelong politician by any stretch, is similar in nature. It probably is leaving some people sort of guessing what the heck is going on here or why. Those closest to me, I think, fully understand it and are very supportive.
So then what are you trying to accomplish in becoming a state legislator?
So I really think that what I bring to the table as a legislator is a leadership ability. And a leadership in conversation is something I consider myself good at. And I have maybe a skill that's limited in our society at having hard conversations respectfully. And with my philosophy, specifically around finances, I think that the next 2 years in our state are going to be a huge inflection point for how we get along and how we constructively solve what is an ongoing budget issue. And without, you know, even getting into the politics of it, I just think we need to maybe think differently about how we are spending money. And the reason I feel that way is sort of my perspective as a business owner, sort of from the very bottom up view at how our tax system works. Everybody moves here because we have no income tax, right? But we're starting to talk about changing that. And I really feel like over the course of 2 years, we should have comprehensive conversations about that. And that's one of my early goals, is to just sort of stick my nose in, maybe to try to support the idea of more comprehensive conversation.
Do you think it's possible to have that
conversation? Yeah, no, that's what everybody says, right? And somebody said to me, Trent, this is what I love about campaigning. You can dream, you know, and when you get there, you're faced with a reality. And, when people ask me if that would be the hardest thing I would ever have done, I don't know if it would have been, if it would be. So that tells me it's possible. A lot of our legislators, I think, don't necessarily have great connective tissue to real businesses and boots on the ground elements. I think that they're often told a lot of things, they're told a lot of stories, but I don't think a lot of these folks that we talk about, you know, the theoretical Dems or, you know, they're going to be my colleagues. You know, what I tell my employees and what I would tell myself is that it's nobody else's responsibility to get along with your colleagues at work. It's your responsibility. And so I expect myself to be able to figure out how to do that. And especially when you disagree on things. And so I do think it's possible. And I get that sounds a little aspirational, but I think the politics of this state is changing. And I think that there are people frustrated on both sides of the aisle. And I cannot express enough how much I think it's important to represent the middle 60-80%, right? Start with the middle 20%, then move your way outward. And that's kind of a strategy I've had in my life, not just with politics, but with when I see a project I'm working on as an engineer. I had a tendency of getting handed projects that were underwater. And what I mean by that is often either financially or oftentimes it's a team of people not getting along or a customer experience that's not going well. And these are problems that everyday business people, you know, and anybody who's working solves. It's your job to figure out how to get along. And I think it's our job as humans to do that. And I don't think that's too elevated for anybody to ignore. And I do think that it's with that spirit that I go into this with.
So you're running as a Republican, and it sounds like a very practical sort of Republican.
Yes.
How well do you reconcile with the folks who are a little more ideological and a little less practical? How do you work with them?
Yeah, well, I've had conversations like that even in the last few weeks. And, you know, I think the first thing I tell people is I think we're probably closer together in thought than we realize. You know, and most of us don't take time to talk to other people that are super ideologically different. You know, our family, my wife's and my own, are famous for good debates. And, you know, sometimes
with each other?
Oh, yeah, with plenty. I mean, my wife and I have healthy debates all the time. But sometimes people will just play the devil's advocate, right? And I like doing that sometimes. And I often, in committee meetings I sit on community decisions about tax funding and things that are put in front of the business community, I always challenge those and say, look, I may vote for this, but I think you need to answer the hard questions. That is a vetting process that more of us should be doing in the public sector especially. And I think that the business community can be, and I get that that is even very polarizing for people. They think certain things when they hear those words. But I do want to help break those stereotypes as well, where you get a lot of people who are used to making constructive decisions. There's a lot of successful businesses out there too. There are places people love going to work. I happen to be one of those places. And, I didn't even ask my team's politics when I said I was running, and they all said, we want you in there. Because I think it should be representative more about leadership, about how to, there's 98 representatives in this whole state. They have to be considered leaders. And I know that it's hard to be an expert on everything, but I guess if I were saying one thing, you shouldn't have a difficulty being an expert on things that have enormous impacts on our economy. And that, I think, is the part that we're not having as constructive of conversation. I think we need subject matter experts to get in the room, people who are used to large-scale crisis.
Are there other issues that are popular in Olympia right now that others that you're interested in, too?
One of the things I think I'm very fearful of for our whole state is the idea of these supermajorities occurring, right? And I tell you, I entered this to learn about politics and learn about campaigns and where money is used and what it's used for. When I see the dollars that are generated on the other side of the state for some of these elections, it's no longer what I'm experiencing with four, people from the community, honest people from the community. I met every candidate, right? They all have versions of roots in our community. And, it could be a very different story. And if elections can start to be purchased in some of these ways, I think that doesn't really serve this state that well. I don't think if somebody just gets their way that, obviously, in politics, you learn half the people like you and half the people don't, right? That was always the thing. But it's almost become to a point where I think we owe it to ourselves to consider more balanced approaches. And some of the conversations I've had with voters is, look, I'm really concerned about that. And I think it's important to send like-minded people as possible to yourself, to the legislature, but also people who can make a positive difference. And I think that's sort of where I lean into those discussions and try to present at least myself as a serious person who takes all of their considerations. But if you look at polling in our region, two things really stick out. Public safety, big time. The recent Pulse polling continues to show that, although we're seeing improvements. I think that's great. But also now popping into that radar, especially in the most recent one, are tax and affordability issues. And I don't think these things are that unlinked at the state level. And so, that's what I pay attention to, too. If I were to answer that Pulse, it's like I, as a business owner, see exactly like a lot of the voters. And that's not shocking because I'm in customer service. I hear what people are concerned with, right? And this job is a little bit like that.
Trent Meyer is one of four candidates in the race to replace Spokane Valley State Representative Suzanne Schmidt in the State House of Representatives in Olympia. Before we get to our final candidate, I'll note that we had an interview scheduled with the fourth candidate in the race, George Wagner, but he didn't show up for the appointment, so you won't hear from him in this program. The interview invitation remains open. We finish with Hillary Pham, born in Washington to Vietnamese refugee parents. She joined the Air Force and was stationed at Fairchild. She became an officer, a health care administrator during the COVID pandemic. She later did financial management at the base. Then she left the service 3 years ago and went to work in the Spokane County Treasurer's Office. And then she became a legislative assistant for Spokane Valley State Representative Rob Chase. She resigned in March to run for the legislature.
I tell people, if you follow politics for long and if you're in it, you know that these opportunities of turnover doesn't happen often. And so when the opportunity arose, when his seatmate decided not to run for re-election, and that I've already gained good experience and built relationships in the legislature, it made sense to go for this. And it's been done many times before. So it is something that is a natural progression if that assistant desires to run for office one day to be assistant and know how things work behind the scenes. And so I was very, you know, thankful that Rep. Chase was supportive, and we made sure that he had a very seasoned assistant to help the transition and manage his office today. So we're doing good. I'm boots on the ground here, help where I can, but his assistant is based out over in the Olympia area.
So what kind of influence do you want to have as a legislator?
I would say lead by example is a huge attribute of being a military officer background. You're always with the people doing the hard things, and the work ethic is very important too. Integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do are the Air Force core values. And so I live by that. And I think that I'm inspiring the next generation by my candidacy and the work that I've put in, so that hopefully we see more young people running for office. We see, you know, people stepping up and taking some ownership in making their communities better. So I think I'm a very positive person and the right person for this position. And I'm going to be effective and efficient. I'm going to hit the ground running if elected. I know how things work, and I definitely want to make sure that Washingtonians stay in Washington, that we keep our state more affordable, and that I can share these stories, especially being in the 4th District, a border district. How impactful this gas tax is on everyday lives. People are traveling out of their way 20, 30 minutes. They think it's worth it every week to go fuel up in Idaho. And we can't let our business go over there. And I just met with Spokane Realtors as well. And 80% of the builds in this region is now happening in Post Falls, Idaho, in North Idaho. So there was about 50 or so permits in the city of Spokane, but over 500 building permits in North Idaho.
So as a legislator, what are the sorts of things that you would do to try to reverse that and change that?
Of course, government spending is just way out of hand. And so we really need to do a deep dive and hard look at what we're spending money on. And is it necessary? Because the Constitution, the state Constitution, outlines very clearly what the scope of responsibility it is, and I feel like it's self-imposed what other programs that the government has taken on that is not really a government necessity. It can be handled. I think a lot of the social services are handled greatly by the nonprofits, by generous donors. Those that are not, you know, taxed so heavily end up giving a lot more, and there's research on that. And also, you know, we have a very strong faith based community out here. I think the churches are doing a good job too of taking care of their neighbors and communities too. And so sometimes it's divestment of what government programs that are existing and really honing into what government is good at. And that's limited scope versus just expansion. Also, I think I'm seeing in the news that the majority party is starting to notice how the projected tax revenue is not as high as they predicted, and that it's really hurting constituents who can't afford basic necessities in our state. And so I think there finally is going to be a swing in the pendulum there, where hopefully these stories that are happening in Eastern Washington prove more effective and gonna move the needle more for cutting those taxes or doing something about the spending. Really hoping that, you know, with the correct communication, that we can turn things around.
What did you think about the millionaire's tax, quote unquote, that was approved this year?
I would say that it is a gateway to expansion of taxing all. And we've seen that through failed legislation. Not going to name specific names, but there was a campaign that would have hurt a lot of healthcare professionals in our region. We are known to one of the top employers to be in healthcare, and those that were earning over $125,000 per year would have had to be taxed, and that would drive away our workforce that is already very low and hard to recruit and retain providers and healthcare professionals in our area. So I think it's detriment to the industry, to workers, to people that need these services. And so I don't know what it is or how we can quite reverse something so significant like this, except by the initiative process that the people are signing on, which I've heard is successful this year, and we may see it in the ballot with the no state income tax. It is also unconstitutional, but we have very savvy people with legal background to make it more difficult to reverse laws like the millionaire's tax. So it concerns me because we've broken history with the amount of objection from the folks. We had in the House over 100,000 people sign in to oppose this tax, yet it still went through, and there was nearly 25 hours of debate and amendment after amendment to drag this out. So I don't know the exact answer, but I know that people are keeping up the good fight in the minority party as Republicans, and I think at some point, I just hope their solution is not to leave the state, but to stay and fight it and to make sure that we just don't keep going in this direction. We're in the wrong track right now. So
you focus sort of on financial issues. Are there other issues that are, you've talked some about healthcare. Are there other things that you would target as a legislator?
Right. I would say education is a huge foundation to my campaign, Pursue the American Dream. Right now, if we look at the Washington Policy Center education report card, we're seeing, instead of being in the top 10 as test scores, we're ranking in the bottom, last 10. And where we see traditionally in the southern states like Mississippi, their test scores have risen very high and have beaten Washington. And that's not the direction we need for the future generations. And when I say education, it's not just K through 12 as well. That's the foundation, of course, and very important that parents have the choice to be able to raise their kids the way they want to, whether it's homeschool, charter school, private school. There's a lot of different options, even, career-based education. But also the workforce development, being ready for the workforce is very important. So, for example, we graduate a lot of computer science and engineering students from our universities, but they don't have real-life experience to be competitive, to be hired by big tech companies like Google and Amazon. They end up hiring a lot overseas, especially in India, on those visas to work because they are more skilled. So is there value in this four-year degree? Are they really being prepared for the workforce, or it's just another checkbox item, right? So we really need to look into what we're teaching in the schools, and is it preparing the next generation for jobs that are needed to be filled?
That's Hillary Pham, who's running for the Washington legislature in the 4th District. She's one of four Republicans in the race to replace Suzanne Schmidt. We asked the 4th candidate, George Wagner, to participate in an interview, and we had one scheduled, but he didn't show up. Inland Journal is the weekly public affairs program produced at SPR News. It's heard on the radio every Thursday at 12:30, every Saturday at 2:30. You can find all of our programs online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Next time, we'll talk with another group of candidates whose names are on the Washington primary election ballot. I hope you'll join us then.